The Radio Today programme with Audioboo.
Well, we're all familiar with the topography of British radio. Half of it, roughly, is funded by the TV licence and is run by the BBC, and the other half is commercial radio, funded by advertising and run for the benefit of shareholders. So, in a sense, we have a duopoly in this country, public radio and private radio. In the US, of course, it's very different. Only 2% of listening is to what they call National Public Radio, NPR, network of stations, which was put together in the 1970s. Well, joining us on the Radio Today programme this week are two guys who want to develop a third force for British radio. They are Matt Hopper, Director of Content, and Tim Neas, MD of British Public Radio. So, gentlemen, hello, and tell us, am I right that British Public Radio is an effort to put together something which will sound like American National Public Radio?
In a word, and I will hand over to Tim in a moment, Trevor, but in a word, not really. Well, that's two words. Tim.
No, I would say no, not really at all. Something a lot more upbeat. National Public Radio in the States, I think, is inevitably an antidote to the typical American radio in the commercial sector. So therefore, it is much drier by its nature than the sort of thing that we're looking at doing.
It does, though, on the other hand, bring us programmes like This American Life and Radio Lab, some of, I think, to British ears, most creative American radio.
Very true. And because we're calling ourselves British Public Radio, you might assume that everything we intend to carry on our service will be from Britain. We would like to reach out to other English-speaking countries, and we would love to run This American Life over here and create this British life and send it over there. So our ambitions are global, not just UK-wide.
OK, let's explore, if we may, your backgrounds. I mean, Matt, let's start with you. I know you mainly as a voiceover. What drew you towards the idea of a BPR?
What drew me towards the idea of BPR was, been a voiceover for many years. I've been a presenter for many years. I've had a production company producing content for the corporate sector and podcasts and the like for 25 years. And I came to a point in my career where my presentation part of my life kind of took an enforced break, and I was looking for other things to do. And I was talking to various people about producing documentaries. And at that stage, there was only one outlet for radio documentaries, and that was the BBC. And I tried to get onto the list that one has to be on to get commissions from the BBC, and found that a very difficult and frustrating process. And those ideas that we had ended up on the cutting room floor, and I thought, there's got to be another way. And that coincided with some thoughts that Tim had had in his mind, actually inspired partly by NPR, for a service like British Public Radio in the UK, and the two came together.
Tim, what's your background in radio?
Started life as a copywriter eons ago at Chiltern Radio in Dunstable back in the mid-80s. Progressed, I worked with Matt in a production company for a few years and then set off on my own. Worked in various other production facilities. Ended up running GWR Creative, which was the largest comprod house in the country at the time. Then made the step across into sort of general management of radio stations. Worked for the local radio company for quite a considerable time, both as a regional MD running groups of radio stations down the South Coast, and also working as a director of new business development, so working on stuff that was sort of non-traditional revenue for the radio station. So sort of juxtaposed between running radio stations and the very sort of commercial side for groups of radio stations. Then took the step off into relaunching and running Jazz FM. I was the launch director of Jazz FM and commercial director there. And then I decided, like Matt, to sort of take a slight break back. I had a young child and I wanted to get out of the continuously working meeting up to London and stuff like that. And I decided that I wanted to do something which got me a little bit more back into the side of programming. I realised that I'd been working in a radio station for 18 months and hadn't stepped into a studio, and that felt a bit odd. So the discussions that Matt's just talked about, we had, and this is how we came to the idea that we should be trying to get British Public Radio off the ground. It is going to be a very populist radio station. So you highlighted earlier, we were talking about some of the great shows from NPR. Those are the sort of shows that we would like to produce, plus much more as well.
It's going to be expensive, isn't it? I mean, it costs a lot of money just to get on DAB, and there's not a lot of future in FM. I mean, you're running a service of sorts online now. What's the strategy for, let's say, the next 5 years in terms of reaching a bigger audience than you've got right now?
Well, our ambitions are definitely to get onto DAB nationally. And you're right, that is the one single largest expense. But what we're trying to do is come up with a slightly different model, come up with a radio that's produced in a way that's slightly different to the way it is now. I certainly learned that working when we were launching Jazz FM. We didn't have any studios to start off with. It was all very virtual, and lots of stuff was being produced by other people off-site and by different content producers and injected in. And that's very much the model we want to work at here. We don't have big, expensive offices and big expensive studios. That's not what we're all about. Keep the cost base low and spend the money on the content.
What you're describing there, I think, is not a million miles away from Channel 4 radio, which, as we know, never launched because they couldn't make the numbers stack up. What makes you think that it would work this time?
I think the environment's changed. When Channel 4 were doing what they were doing, the social media landscape was nothing like as developed as it is now. We've identified a bunch of different revenue streams that go above and beyond just the classic airtime advertising. And we think we can go out and get an audience. We don't want to wait for them necessarily to tune into us through DAB. Obviously, that's where we want them to listen to, and they'll be our major platform. But we can get to them through social media, atomizing our content out there and reaching potential listeners and getting them to come to us. And also, at the same time, that long tail of content we can monetize.
Of course, John Myers has just raised a very large sum of money to launch his Team Rock. Have you been talking to venture capitalists?
Yes.
Is there funding on its way?
Can't really go into detail at the moment, because until the ink's dried on the paper, we're not allowed to talk about things. But yes, it's looking very promising.
So you're hoping that you will raise enough money to be a national radio station on DAB fairly shortly then? That's the ambition?
Yes.
And where will you be looking for programmes? At the moment, you carry some programming, don't you, online, but as I understand it, you don't pay for it.
Well, at the moment, no. We are relying on the goodwill and the support of an incredibly large amount of people who believe in what we're doing and want to make it happen. Where will the content come from? It will come from a mix of established producers and new talent and people who are already producing audio, such as the guys supporting us online on our test stream at the moment, who are already producing, whether it be podcasts or producing documentaries for fun. And believe me, Trevor, there are a lot of them doing that, and some really good stuff is being produced that nobody ever hears. And this is one reason why we want to put these guys on a podium and celebrate them with the British Public Radio Awards, which we've just launched with our friends at Audioboo.
We'll come on and talk about the BPR Awards in a minute. I've got Matt Hopper and Tim Neese with me from British Public Radio, and we'll just pause for this week's news with Roy Martin.
The Radio Today programme.
Thank you, Trevor. Top stories this week from radiotoday.co.uk. KISS has branched out with two new radio channels. KISSTORY goes from an hour a day to 24/7 on Freeview and online, whilst KISS Fresh gets a place in the new KISS app. Owners Bauer Media have also closed Q Radio, and rumours suggest more changes are on the way. Watch this space. John Simons has announced he's leaving Real and Smooth Radio. He's been with the group, previously known as GMG Radio, as group programme director pretty much since day one, and he told me it was a sad decision to leave. He goes in June after helping with the transition to the new owners, Global Radio. Simon Hirst is the most read story of the month on our website, mostly due to Hirsty telling his Capital FM listeners to click on the link, which explains that he's got a new job on Gold. Most people thought he was leaving Capital, but no. The story explained everything, and we had twice the amount of traffic that day, and we're calling that the Hirsty effect. Thanks, Hirsty. We're just 2 weeks away from finding out what the Competition Commission will decide in relation to Global Radio's takeover of GMG Radio. Make sure you follow Radio Today on Twitter and turn on mobile notifications to find out first. It's like old school SMS alerts, but without the cost. And it's a busy week coming up as the Sony Awards, Rajar and Jockfest all take place within days of each other. For the Sonys, though, we're looking for recorded messages from you, ones saying good luck to your nominated colleagues. Send them to us at news@radiotoday.co.uk and we'll play them out on the night during our live radio show from the venue. We'll be on the radio, effectively, from 5 o'clock on Monday. RadioTodayLive.com or just search for Radio Today without a space on TuneIn. That's your latest. Now back to Matt and Tim, who are in conversation with Trevor.
The Radio Today programme.
In these days of interactivity with the World Wide Web, make it easy for your listeners to share their voices with you via Audioboo. They simply download the app to their mobile device, record a boo, and send to your station. It's that simple. And just to prove a point, this ad was recorded as a boo and sent in from the corner shop. Audioboo. Sharing voices with the world.
Matt Hopper and Tim Neese from British Public Radio are here, and we're going to talk about your awards. I just want to explore a little bit more first, though, about the funding. I asked you whether you would be paying for programmes, and you were a little bit evasive about that. I'm assuming you wouldn't expect all of your programming to be just given to you for nothing, would you?
Absolutely not.
So eventually you will pay. Is this going to be a not-for-profit organisation, or will you be directors of a business which will endeavour to make some money for its shareholders?
Oh, no, it's a commercial enterprise. And
right, so it's not really public radio at all. It's private radio run by Matt and Tim.
I think the idea of the name public at the moment, it may not be the name, British Public Radio, it may not be the name we ultimately launch with. It was to give people more within the industry a quick handle of the sort of thing that we were aiming at, because obviously they probably will have heard of NPR and they can get their head around that. We may ultimately launch with a completely different name.
Okay, so the material you've got now, I mean, you've got, for instance, Helen and Ollie's Answer Me This running, and you've got some programming that you seem to have, I mean, some of it, as you say, very high standard. Are you looking for more? You know, if people have got programming they think deserves a broader audience, would you like to hear from them?
Most definitely, and that's one of the reasons we've launched the awards. I've made it my mission over the last few months to scour the country for this great audio, which we find in the most unexpected places. And I'm absolutely convinced I've only scratched the surface, and there's much more out there. And we want to hear it. We want to hear from the guys that are doing it.
Okay, so your awards. Tell me how that works and how we can enter.
Okay, well, entries are open now online at britishpublicradio.com/awards. There are five categories, overall categories, within which each category there's a short form subdivision for features of sub 15 minutes and a long form division for features or programmes over 15 minutes. But the categories are documentary, entertainment, factual and news, drama, and experimental. Who knows what that will bring, but we look forward to hearing entries in the experimental category particularly.
Have you had conversations with Ofcom about your plans?
Not yet.
I just wondered if you were getting a pat on the back in any sense from the establishment?
We've certainly had some of the establishment, who probably shouldn't name us at the moment, encouraging us and saying, yes, we think this is a good idea and it's a good idea to have an alternative there. But we haven't seen any point in approaching Ofcom until we're in a place where we've got all our plans in place, because they might be asking us questions we haven't got good answers to. So as soon as we got those good answers, obviously we will talk to them.
It's very kind of you to join us this week on the Radio Today programme. Matt Hopper, Tim Neese from British Public Radio, thank you very much indeed. We'll be back, I think, next week. We're talking to Torrin Douglas, who's the shortly to retire but very long-serving BBC media correspondent. Should be very interesting. Join us for that next time.
The Radio Today programme is a TDC production.